This is Mitch McGarry of the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're listening to the Down to Dunk Podcast.
Welcome to the Down to Dunk Podcast. This is your host, Andrew Schleck, and today we have special guest, Zach Harper. Zach, how's it going?
I'm excellent. We tried to do this last week, and I couldn't stop coughing, so I think I've stopped coughing enough right now to actually talk to you.
Awesome. First things first, Royce Young wanted me to tell you that your hair is terrible.
You know what? I'm so sick of Royce's jealousy of my hair, and it was a problem when we worked together at CBS. It's clear that it's a problem, even though he's moved on to ESPN, that he just can't handle perfection, really. I mean, I don't like to brag. I'll let him do all the talking when it comes to that, because he knows what the real situation is, but it's perfection.
I mean, there's obviously some beef there, because that was the first thing that came out of his mouth whenever I told him that I was having you on. So
yeah, no, you know, he was a great worker. He's a horrible person, though, as everyone knows.
Let's talk about probably my favorite thing about the Thunder right now is Cameron Payne. I had a question from Achilles Heald on Twitter. He asked, is Cam Payne the last reasonable shot that Presti has at proving that the quote-unquote hardened model of a Thunder six man will work?
That's a tough one, just because he's a rookie. Breaking news, I know. But it's like, it's always, I've really had to learn to temper my expectations with rookies. And obviously, I know we're projecting here, not just talking about this season. But you just don't get a good sense. Like, even someone like Karl Anthony Towns, like, you look at him and you're like, wow, this guy's amazing. Like, how's a 20-year-old play like this? But even still, like, that can just be an outlier of what their career is going to be. I mean, you can look at Tyreke Evans, who was unbelievable as a rookie, and that was really like maybe his best year until last year. And that's like, there's just, it's so hard to project guys good or bad off their rookie season. But with him, like, you have to be able to knock down open shots, which I think he's done a decent job of. You know, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I think he's, you know, he hasn't had a ton of chances, but open threes, I think he's shooting pretty well. And then you have to find a way to almost, this is going to sound weird, but like, you almost have to find a way to pattern your game if you're paying after someone like JJ Barea, who, like, JJ Barea can come in and just be a spark plug, good or bad, but he changes the pace of the game. And I think that's what a good six man does. So, like, can campaign change the pace of a game over the next couple of years? I think he definitely fits that model. I also wonder, you know, does he get the chance to do that in the same way that, you know, James Harden or Reggie Jackson got a chance to do that? I don't know that situation is going to be similar for them to really jump into that mold.
What do you think of Presti's strategy? I mean, like, it seems basically since they've had a competitive team, they have a shooting guard who is a defensive wing, and then they have another, you know, whether it's a shooting guard or a combo guard or a point guard off the bench who can basically come in and finish games, hit open shots. What do you think about that model? And do you think it's something that will work going forward with Andre Roberson?
Yeah, it's tough with Roberson just because his jumper is just so bad, right? And so, like, for him to truly be effective in the model that I think Sam Presti wants, you've got to at least be a threat from the corners. And I don't know what his percentages are, but I know I watched him warm up a couple of games within the last month or and a half, and just watching him, like, it was inconsistent warm-ups, and then you move it into real games, and it's just all over the place. And so defensively, I love him. Like, I think he can be a game changer defensively in a couple of years. Like, I think he's that good. He's strong. He's lanky. He fits the profile of that guy that Presti wants. But if you can't do it on the other end, and even just, you don't even have to be like, it's not like you have to be Kyle Korver or Danny Green or somebody like that. Like, you just have to be a guy who makes the defense hesitate when they leave you, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you can't be that guy, I don't, like, what's the difference between him and, like, Luke Bamute? You know, like, obviously there's some size positional stuff, but that's, like, kind of the, like, I would rather have Luke Bamute if we're talking the two of them, if Roberson can't eventually fix that jumper. And so because of that, like, I just think that you become very replaceable in that respect. Whereas if you can be the 3-and-D guy, those guys are so sought after now that, one, you end up making yourself quite a bit of money, and two, you, you know, you just fit that role of what Presti wants to happen so much better. But I love the model he's put forth for the team, just because everything is about, you know, it maybe doesn't maximize what you can do now, but it's always building sustainability. And if you can build sustainability, I think the idea is that eventually you break through and you win a title. And then after that, who knows what happens. But then I kind of look to what Dallas did for years, you know, up until their titles. They had some highs, they had some lows, but they always had sustainability of being a team that mattered. And eventually they broke through, and it was a great run, and it fell apart after that. But as long as you get that one, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, I think that's the hope. And so, I guess some people just worry that now you have the Spurs and the Warriors, and can this Thunder team actually compete with them? What's your opinion on that?
Right now, no, I don't think so. But I think that they have the capabilities of building into the rest of the season. It's about finding, you know, the rotations that work, and about finding the comfort within what Billy Donovan wants to do. And it's building that, the, you know, the playmaking and the ball movement. And that's really going to be the key for them, is can they build that ball movement to be almost second nature? Because that's what it is for the Warriors, and that's what it is for the Spurs. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the design of, one, what that team is, or what the team wants to be, and two, just what it takes to end up being, you know, a championship level team. And I, you know, some people will just get mad at anything Charles Barkley says, but I actually thought there was some validity to what he said about, when Pop said that thing about Kawhi Leonard, like running a play for Kawhi Leonard did not mean that Kawhi Leonard had to score, and that he doubts whether Durant or Westbrook are, you know, have that same mindset. I think it's a little overblown, but I do think the mentality is right of, it doesn't always have to be on them, and you do have to trust your teammates, and you do have to build that continuity on the court. And at a certain point, like, Durant and Westbrook are so unbelievable that maybe it doesn't matter to the degree it would with other teams. But if they can build that it's almost like this random arbitrary championship level of understanding. But they do, you know, they're so close to that on any given night, that I think that if you can just see them make that little push over consistently, then that's where you get into, like, yeah, I think they can play with the Warriors. I think they play with the Spurs because they are so talented.
I hope that they get a chance to actually build toward that, because I feel like they're a long ways away. They still have the fewest touches among any teams in the NBA per game. And I think they need probably a year and a half to actually play the way that Donovan wants to, because Donovan, after every game, you kind of feel frustrated. You're like, why is Billy Donovan doing these things? And then when they interview him, like, he answers everything that you would have wanted him to answer about, like, why these things aren't happening, and here's what we wanted to do, here's how it happened, here's some things that I wanted to happen that didn't happen. And then you're like, oh, okay, like, that makes sense. So I just wonder if this team just needs more time.
Yeah, and I think too, like, I think that's why there are more questions about the team than anything, is it's because not can they get to that level, it's that do they have time to get to that level because of, like, the impending free agency of Durant and Westbrook. And there's always that worry now of, like, well, what if he does want to go to Golden State? Or what if he does want to go to D.C.? Or what if he wants to go to L.A.? Or what if he wants to go to wherever? Like, throw in whatever scenario in which Durant leaves, it's not about whether or not they have the makeup to do it. It's whether they have the time to do it. And that's what basically what you're talking about is, like, if you give them 2 years in the system, how good could it be? It could be phenomenal. It could be the best in the league. Mm-hmm.
Well, you touched on this a bit. How viable do you think it is that Durant actually considers going to Golden State?
I think that's the biggest threat.
Yeah.
I think if he's going to leave, I also don't think he's going to leave this summer. Like, I think it makes financial sense, unless he's worried about his foot, which he doesn't seem to be. And there doesn't seem to, you know, really be a reason to be. It just makes sense to sign a 1 year max, or maybe a two year max with a player option for the second year. Mm-hmm. And wait for the money to go up and then cash in on that. And then at that point you reassess, because you get that time with Billy, you get that time to see where Westbrook's head is in terms of, does he want to move on? Does he want to stay there? Does he want to keep building this thing? And that's where you get to see whether or not they want to leave. But if they're, you know, let's say for some reason they lose in the, I don't think this is going to happen with the way the West looks, but let's say they lose in the first round, or let's say they lose badly in the second round. you know, and the Warriors have a champion, you know, two championships in a row, and the capabilities of adding Durant in the summer, like, I think that's something he'd be dumb not to consider. You know, we talk so much about, oh, can this guy lead to a championship? It's not about that anymore. It's about whether or not you can be on a team that wins a championship, and he would be that with the Warriors. Like, you replace Harrison Barnes with Kevin Durant. That's a pretty ridiculous – like, that's something, like, if it happens in a video game, you're like, oh, my God, I've got to save right away.
Yeah.
Like, I can't lose this offseason. Like, that's – you know, that – yeah, I think that's the only realistic possibility of him leaving. I still don't know that it's realistic this summer. And then after this summer, I think the money gets fuzzy to where that can't happen. But I think he'd be dumb not to at least kick the tires on that.
Do you shut the league down after that happens? Like, what do you do?
I moved to Oakland. Yeah. I moved to Oakland. I try to cover that team every game because that would be a ridiculous level of basketball talent on one team. And him playing in that style would be a lot of fun. I know your listeners are probably wishing you would kick me off the podcast. Right? I'm not hoping it happens. I'm just saying if it happens, I move to Oakland.
Well, we talked about it in a depressing manner that they really are. They're the only – because, like, Washington's out. Like, he's not going there. You know,
why would you go to – that team is – so you can go play for Randy Whitman? Like, come on.
Yeah, it's not happening. And he's not – I mean, I thought Houston would be – they would at least have a conversation with Durant before the season started. Like, it doesn't seem like that's viable now. It's Golden State. And
yeah, like, I think Miami can get in the door.
Yeah.
To have a conversation, but, like, they got in the door to have a conversation with LaMarcus Aldridge and nothing happened. You know, yeah. Like, I don't know if that matters as much anymore.
Yeah, I just think, just looking at the rosters, I mean, you clearly have four great teams in the league right now, if you include the Thunder in that. And then, like, everything else is a downgrade from there. So I...
Yeah.
But anyways, I hope that he stays because I really do. I mean, like, what would oddsmakers put the Warriors at? It's already crazy now, but, I mean, it would just be ridiculous if you put Kevin Durant in place of Harrison Barnes. It's just, I mean, it's unfair.
It would literally be unfair. I mean, this is way worse than, like, the big three in Miami type of deal. Like, this is beyond any capabilities of what they could have done.
Yeah. Let's shift conversation a little bit. The two guard has been just a topic that is just almost exhausting here in Oklahoma City about how they really need help because they have Andre Roberson, who can't shoot. They have Anthony Morrow, who can't move on defense. And then they have Dion Waiters, who is Dion Waiters. Right. And so I think they need to make a move to solidify that position because with this current starting lineup, like, they wouldn't survive versus the Warriors or the Spurs. Just because you're playing 4-5, and I just don't think they can beat either one of those teams with their current lineup. So I'm going to ask you about a few different players. Tell me if you think it would be an upgrade for them. Basically, is it an upgrade over Roberson and Morrow? And then do you think they have the assets? And the Thunder's lower level assets are pretty limited right now. It's basically second round pick, Mitch McGarry, and then, like, you have expiring contracts of Steve Novak, DJ Augustine, guys like that. And then if you believe that Dion Waiters still has some kind of value, you can throw him in there too. First one is from the Nets, Bogdanovich. Do you think that he would be an upgrade for the Thunder, and do they have the assets to get him?
Yeah, I think he'd be an upgrade, and I think at this point you can get any kind of deal going with the Nets just because – I don't think they know what they're doing. And I don't think, you know, Bogdanovich, he's a nice player, but I don't think he's a guy that you, like, mortgage your future to keep, right? And so even if you threw a heavily protected first round pick that is only likely to become, like, second round picks in the future, like, I think they would have to at least consider that. And I do think he's an upgrade. I think he can be a decent enough defender, and he's a good enough offensive player. To where, like, I think you start him, or at least he's in your closing lineup.
Yeah, I like him a whole lot. Next, from the Sixers, Hollis Thompson or Robert Covington?
I think I like them more in theory than in application. So I don't know that they would be – I don't think they're upgrades for the next 2 years. I think it's Philly, so – well, it was – Philly before Jerry Colangelo met, you could give them a second rounder and they'll give you anything you want. But now, I don't know if Colangelo changes that. But I think it would be worth like exploring a trade for them, you know, for those guys, and seeing even if you can just add them to the bench and see if you can develop them along with some of the other younger guys. You do it, but I don't know that it's a definite upgrade now.
Okay, OJ Mayo from the Bucks.
No, you still OJ Mayo's got to be. This has got to be done, like as an experiment for like he's just not. He's not a good team guy, unless he's like happy with you and you don't owe him money from a gambling thing. And like, he's really an inconsistent 3-point shooter. And I just don't think he's a good enough defender to even warrant the headache.
Okay. I kind of like the idea of him, but the more I talk to people, the more I don't like him. So
yeah, no, he's like a guy where you're like, oh yeah, OJ Mayo, like he can play. I would like, he might be a good fit there, and it's really like just getting a veteran Deion Waiters at this point.
Okay. Which I mean, I like Deion. I think it might be kind of fun. PJ Tucker.
I like PJ Tucker a lot. I actually think he would be perfect for this team. I don't know what Phoenix's ties are to him at this point, because you know, they could be flipping everything pretty soon. But I think you definitely have the assets to get a conversation started with a trade, and I think he'd be a huge upgrade.
What do you think of Mitch McGarry? Because like, I think that's kind of like where the conversation kind of starts with this team. Like, what do you think of him? What do you think his value? Like, what do you think his league wide value is? Like, I'm trying to figure out like if they could, because initially I think there's no way that they would trade PJ Tucker for Mitch McGarry, but I really have no idea what his value is.
Yeah, I think that with him, like you would have to convince everyone that his back's okay, right?
Yeah.
Which it probably is, but I don't, you know, one, I'm not a doctor, and two, I don't have his medical records, so I couldn't tell you like if it's a long term concern at all or not. But I know that was the reason he dropped, because he was a lottery level talent. I think as long as he's healthy, he could be like really a perfect third big man for you, a perfect big man off the bench for just about any team. Like maybe he can be a starter someday, but I think he's more in that kind of six man role. And I think teams like Phoenix are always looking to acquire a young asset like him. So I think you could make that happen.
Yeah, and I think it makes sense, because you're giving up a young guy for a guy who's 30. Like PJ Tucker has nothing to do with the future of the Suns at this point.
Right, exactly. Like he's a nice veteran guy to have around, but you can go get those guys anywhere.
Right. I think that may be one of the best deals available, because I do think he's a tough enough defender to make a big difference, to where you're not going to like miss out on Andre Robertson. And you actually have to guard him. So Ben McLemore.
I'm a little gun shy with Ben McLemore at this point, because I was so high on him coming into the draft.
Yeah.
And I just like, I don't know, like aside from a couple of dunks here and there, a couple of like hot shooting sprees by him, like I just don't know that, I don't know that he's actually good. You know, like maybe he'd be better. And I think it's tough to evaluate him because he's in such a chaotic environment in terms of development, in terms of just general basic stability, that I don't know, like maybe you throw him on a team like the Thunder, or a much more veteran focused team, and maybe he like just explodes, like maybe all that talent comes through. But I don't think he's definitely an upgrade over the situation based on what you'd have to give up to get him.
Do the Thunder even have the assets to get a guy like that?
It's a king, so I just don't even know what could they possibly be thinking his value is. Like they, you know, this front office is all over the map in terms of what they value, and so I think you'd have to give up too much to get the conversation started. Mm-hmm. I'd give up Mitch McGarry for him, but you know, anything outside of Mitch McGarry that I'd have to tack on, like I wouldn't even think about it.
Could you convince Vlade that Deion Waiters is good?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, you can convince him that Deion Waiters is good. I just don't know. Like, I think I think Cousins may tear the entire organization down for Deion Waiters at this point.
Just a quick on Deion Waiters. Like, the island is gone. Like, I was there for a long time, but it's gone. This guy, can he be like a... a rotation player going forward in the NBA, or is he like Jordan Crawford? Who do you think he's going to be in the next 5 years?
Yeah, like I think Jordan Crawford's probably a safer comparison of like, you could see him having a big impact in a short amount of time on a very good team, maybe even the Thunder, but more than likely, like we're like 4 years from now, we're waking up to, oh my God, Deion Waiters scored 68 points in a Chinese league game. Like that's probably more likely like what's going to happen because he just can't shoot, or he can't shoot in the NBA at a level that like that justifies the amount of times he's calling for the ball.
Yeah.
And so like, I don't know. I was never high on him coming out. I'm pretty wary of Syracuse players in general. And it just, you know, I think it's worth the risk if you're not giving up a whole lot to get him, kind of like what the Thunder did. But you know, there's just everything about this league is consistency, and he just doesn't have any.
Yeah, I love Waiters' personality, and I love what he brings to the locker room and to interviews and stuff like that. I think he's a really fun person, and so I've been defending him all year. Really up until the last 2 weeks, I have no arguments anymore. He's stripped me of all arguments
I think you can buy into him being the ninth guy on the team because of his personality, because his personality is kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
Of just a guy of oh man, this game is not going well in the second quarter. Let's just throw him in and see if he can spark something. But when you need him to be more than that, my God, it's just not a great conversation to have.
It's not. Okay, this has been brought up. Kevin Pelton dropped this guy into the conversation. I guess the real conversation is, can Courtney Lee actually be had from the Grizzlies?
I don't think so. I think they're going to be too gun shy on making a real move.
Yeah.
After the whole Jeff Green thing. So, you know, you can, for what you would have to give up to get him, I just don't think it would be worth it. I think he's another guy. I guess if he's the fifth option on your team, which, you know, on the floor, I think it's a pretty good move. Because when he gets going, you know, Memphis can be pretty hard to beat, but you know, I don't know how much he actually gives you on a night-to-night basis.
Yeah, I don't know that he's good enough for what the Thunder would have to give up, and then I think that he just holds way too much value for the Grizzlies.
If you told me tomorrow, hey, the Thunder got Courtney Lee and didn't really shake up their core, I would think that's a really good move. But you know, I can't really see Memphis parting with him unless you just give up way more value than he's actually worth.
Mm-hmm. Last guy, Quincy Pondexter.
I think he's got a knee injury, right? So so I'd be weary of that because I think it was a pretty serious one. But if you can tell me Quincy Pondexter's going to be healthy, absolutely. I think he would be perfect for this team.
Do the Thunder have the assets to get him?
I think so, just because, you know, New Orleans is kind of a mess. So I think they like Alonzo G. I think they like a lot of their wings, so I don't think it would take a whole lot to get him. He's still in New Orleans, right? Did I just completely make up a team? Yeah,
no, he's there.
for a second, I started thinking oh crap, is he still on Memphis? but I don't think it would take Mitch McGarry to get him. I think it would take a second round pick and some salary relief,
okay,
in some manner. But I don't know that you can trust the knee.
Okay, I just thought of one last one: Gerald Henderson.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that he's the shooter you need him to be. But all right, if he's an upgraded version of Robertson, you can definitely talk yourself into that, even if he's not shooting all that well, because he's such a good defender and he can be such a dynamic guy inside the 3-point arc offensively. Yeah, I would take that chance.
Yeah, and I think, he plays so little for the Blazers. I think he could be had for a second rounder and Augustine or Novak or whatever. Don't you think?
Yeah, I can't imagine they're that tied to him because I think he's also in the last year of his contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or we're in the last 2 years of the contract or something like that. So I think that I think you could definitely get him because he's not Alan Crabb. So, you know, they'd much rather keep Alan Crabb playing than figure out how to use Gerald Henderson.
Yeah. I really hope this impressed. Like, I feel like there's tons of options out there that just these guys who really aren't playing a whole lot that could be a big upgrade over Roberson. But like you talked about earlier, like sustainability is such a huge thing for Sam Presti. And I just wonder if that could ultimately almost be a detriment this particular season, because he doesn't go out and get like somebody who can really help them, you know, push for a title this year, or push for at least having a more competitive team this year, just by giving up a second round pick. I hope that the sustainability model doesn't, you know, keep him from doing that.
Yeah, and I think with Sam too, like you could look towards this year and be like, hey, you know, the Thunder are a move away from being up there with the Warriors and the Spurs. And at the same time, I think he can look at that same situation and be like, yeah, but I don't really think Kevin Durant's going anywhere. So we're there without giving up any assets next year. Yeah. Like, I think he's probably going to be more calm about it than just about anybody else, because he does believe in that system. And while it can be a detriment now, I think it could pay off long term for them.
Yeah. Last question for the podcast. Who do you think is Oklahoma City's best five currently?
Oh, man. I know the starting lineup does really well.
Yeah.
Like, almost obnoxiously well. like 20 points per 100 possessions well. I think I would still, like, if I'm closing a game, I think I'd go Morrow over Roberson.
Yeah.
I think I would always want that threat of that 3-point shooter. And I know you give up something defensively, you can do offensive defense switches, but I love that lineup of Westbrook, Morrow, Durant, Ibaka, Adams. Mm-hmm. I think that's the lineup I would trust the most, even if the data probably like pushes you more towards the Roberson lineup.
Yeah. It's weird. That lineup makes the most sense in my head as well, but they've only played like 20 minutes together this whole season.
And it's I'm wondering if it's like a Princess Bride thing where all of a sudden Billy Donovan in the playoffs will be like, oh, by the way, we're not left-handed. Like, we've got Anthony Morrow and they're shooting guard. Like, we've been holding this whole time. Or is it just like, there's got to be a reason where after all these years, we all look at Anthony Morrow and we're like, why doesn't this guy play more? Like, clearly he's not a good defender, but there's got to be... It can't just be that. There are a lot of like not good defenders who end up playing heavier minutes in this.
Yeah. He must be just horrible in practice. Like, I don't know what else to say, because he's had great games for Oklahoma City, but he just always plays them with the all bench lineups.
Right.
And I think that they're like a -4 or something like that with that lineup, which makes no sense to me. But it's also a small sample. Like, I don't know who they played against or like what the situation was. So you can kind of throw that out, but, ultimately, I do. I agree. I think that Morrow needs to be on the court more, and I also think that that would be a great closing lineup for them. But he's preferred Waiters so far, and he's even teetered towards campaign in the last week or so.
I don't mind that. Like, if Cam can hit, can hit corner threes or even stretch it out to the above the break. Like, if he can do that consistently, I love the idea of having multiple guys who can attack off closeouts.
Yeah. And he's also, I mean, this team is so limited with passers. Like, they have maybe like 3 or 4 passers on the whole team. So I think including as many of those guys as possible in a lineup, I think, is just more helpful.
Yeah.
Zach, thanks for coming on the podcast today. We can follow you at Talk Hoops and read your stuff at CBSSports.com. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Down to Dunk podcast. You can find us at DailyThunder.com and DownToDunk.com. Follow us on Twitter at DTD Podcast and ask us Twitter questions every Wednesday. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star iTunes review, and your review will be read on the next podcast. Thanks for listening.